get ready.
Man, I don't ever want to be so woke that me and the KKK are out here agreeing on the same shit. Before they were killing people to keep us from voting, now we talk ourselves out of the shit.
For real talk.
Before you get out here loud and wrong talking about minimum wages and starter jobs, educate yourself on why the minimum wage was created in the first damn place.
All the time.
You shouldn't be the same person you were 10 years ago. You should be growing towards a better you every day. And the only ones who will be threatened by that are the ones who refuse to grow and are scared their ass gonna get left behind.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 262 of the report, and right now we rocking out to some old ass 3-6 Mafia. Who run it? Rock out with your boy.
I'm about to overload. I'm about to kill your boy. All I wanna do is where the keys at. Where the keys at? Keep it easy. You don't wanna get skeeted. All on this motherfucker. Boom, nigga, boom. Lay it on your back so you can get up soon. Stab it in your heart with a hard fucking pull.
On and I'm still hungry, starving for a platinum supper. Wipe it, MC's up like Bounty the Crook, and the city be eating rubber. If it was good, that's done on my.
Yes, indeed, y'all. I went way back with this one, man. I went back to my like my freshman year of college, man, when this shit was like banging. This is when I was actually introduced to 3-6 Mafia, man, because I went to Tennessee State, and, you know, it was a bunch of niggas from Memphis at Tennessee State. And, yeah, man, this is what was going on, man. And, you know, of course, the band, the Aristocrat bands, would play this shit at the football games, man. It was a thing, man. So I felt like, you know, with football season kicking back off, college football season already kicking off, Tennessee State already got a W up on the board. You know, I just felt like, you know, I felt nostalgic, you know what I'm saying? So I felt like, you know, let me go on back to this oldie but goodie, you know what I'm saying? Because this shit used to get this shit used to get everybody going, bro. For real. But what's going on with y'all, man? It's been a week since the last time I talked to y'all, man. It's been a short week, man. Real talk. You know, with the Labor Day holiday and everything, man, you meant like 4 days was good, man. I kind of wish, man, Span could work like four tens throughout the week, like four days out of the week, man, Monday through Thursday, and had like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off. Like, I've had that kind of schedule before. It was beautiful. I kind of wish I had that shit right now, man. Real talk, man. For real. I might have to make some changes. Yeah, no. But, yeah, man, it is a Saturday in September, man. Like I said, the summertime is slowly fading away. We are moving into these like these autumn months, and it's getting cooler outside, man. It takes longer to get light outside. I've noticed when I wake up in the morning, it's dark as shit. Excuse me. When I wake up in the morning, it's dark as shit, and it gets darker earlier. I'm already noticing it, man. I don't know if you guys noticing it, but I'm noticing it my damn self, and I don't like it. I ain't going to lie to you. I don't like it, but it is what it is. You know, it's the cycle of the seasons and whatnot. But, yeah, this is kind of what it is. But before we get into everything, of course, I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, those messages will be played here live on the show and responded to in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespareandreport.com. That's feedback@thespareandreport.com. Leave those emails, and of course, those emails will get read here and responded to live here on the show. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr. Underscore Span. So go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. Also, hit us up on iTunes and or Stitcher with those 5-star reviews. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. You can leave something less than 5 stars, but we ain't gonna read that shit. So go ahead, leave those 5-star reviews. And those 5-star reviews was one way to for us to thank you for taking the time to rate us, man, and let everybody know why it is you mess with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast and the Spare Report Podcast Network, man. Real talk. Also, hit up our website at www.thespareandreport.com. You can go there. You can watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls when we put one up. You can leave comments on the show. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we appreciate every dime over here at the Spare Report Podcast Network. And you can also go to our store through the website. Our store is hosted by T Public, but you can get there through our website. And get yourself some merch, man. Get a t-shirt, or it's about to be hoodie season, yo. So you can go there and get yourself a fly ass hoodie. You know what I'm saying? You can go there and get you a thermos. You know what I'm saying? Get you one of them thermoses, you know what I'm saying? Keep your drink all nice and warm, you know? But yeah, man, go ahead. We really do appreciate those who patronize us in that way, man. It really does help the show grow and keeps the bills paid and everything, man. And also, shout out to our Patreon patrons, man. Our Patreon patrons are the ones who keep this ball rolling, especially here for the live show. So our Patreon patrons are what allow us to do this show here live on Crowdcast. So we really do appreciate our Patreon patrons for stepping up in that way and allowing for us to continue to move forward with the live shows, man, and probably one of the best ways to do it, man. There's a lot of different platforms out here, but right now Crowdcast seems to be the best one for us here at the Spare Report Podcast Network. We really do appreciate everybody who is a part of that Patreon golden circle, man. Real talk. But yo, man, I got a couple random thoughts, and I'm not gonna spend a whole lot of time on just a couple real quick random thoughts, man, before we get into the show. And one of the things that I thought over the course of the week was like, of course, it's not like everybody knows this shit, but I saw a story earlier in this week, right, that White Claw, which is like a hard seltzer drink or whatever, like White Claw apparently is popular with the whites. You know what I'm saying? White Claw is popular with the whites. They've been talking about this on like the sports talk radio about how craft beer sales are cratering because people are drinking the White Claw and whatnot. And I'm not the real biggest like fan of like seltzer water or anything. Like that LaCroix stuff. I know it's not the hard stuff, but the LaCroix stuff, my wife drinks that every now and again. Like I would see that shit in the fridge and I would grab one. And then realize why it is that I don't drink that shit. Because that stuff is disgusting to me, right? I can't fuck with it. But apparently it's really popular with the whites. And there is a apparent shortage of the White Claw. And all I want to know is, with this shortage of the White Claw, are these folks registered to vote? Did we register them to vote? Are we making sure that when they are at the checkout line, that we ask them for their voter registration cards? You know, I just kind of want to know, you know, I mean, since we are doing this, we are policing black people with their chicken consumption. We should probably be policing white people with their seltzer water consumption, especially the hard kind. You know, make sure that they're registered to vote, because it's voting that matters. Right. Let's make sure we do that, man. That's one of the random thoughts that I had. Right. Another random thought that I had is actually not really that random. I saw something on Twitter, like it's been kind of circulating a lot on Twitter. Isaiah Washington was like on like the black Twitter streets, man. And he came out. He supposedly came out as a Trump supporter, and his reasoning for being a Trump supporter is that Trump is a supposed supporter of the First Step Act, which is supposed to be a prison reform bill, right? And that is it. That is his sole reason for being a Trump supporter, right? Now I get it. There's a lot of people who are one issue voters and all this other thing. And prison reform is something that's very near and dear to my heart, because I'm dealing with some prison reform shit in my own family and everything. Like, you know, like this shit, it needs to happen, right? But I'm going to act like I ain't tell you niggas that, like, that 8-0 shit, which he's a proponent of, that hashtag walk away shit, which he's a proponent of, has been nothing but fucking nothing but a marketing campaign towards black voters to get them to, like, come to the side of Trump. Like, I told you this months ago. He's just the first one to actually come out and say that he is a Trump supporter. I mean, many of them will say, no, it's not about Trump. Yeah, it's about Trump. It's about Trump. But like, that's just what it is. And I was like, I was looking at this and I'm like, didn't I say this months ago? If you're paying attention, man, if you're paying attention, that's what's happening. But those are my random thoughts, man. I told y'all that was real quick, I wasn't going to belabor the point, but, yeah, man, it is time for us to get into the show, and we're going to start it off like we always do with the news. Oh shit. Let me do this, right? this tablet, man. Damn it. Let's do that. Turn that off. Okay. Now let's get some shit popping. There we go. There we go. Woo! All right, our first story up here in the news, man, is Walmart. Walmart is in the news, and it's not just Walmart, but Kroger as well. But we're going to read this story here. This is out of clickondetroit.com. But Walmart has apparently decided that they will no longer sell handgun ammunition in their stores. All right, we're going to read the story here out of clickondetroit.com. It says that Walmart says that it will discontinue the sale of handgun ammunition and also publicly request that customers refrain from openly carrying firearms in stores, even where state laws allow it. The announcement comes just days after a mass shooting claimed 7 lives in Odessa, Texas, and follows 2 other back-to-back shootings last month, one of them at a Walmart store. The Bentonville, Arkansas-based discounter said Tuesday it will stop selling short barrel and handgun ammunition after it runs out of its current inventory. Excuse me. It will also discontinue handgun sales in Alaska, marking its complete exit from handguns and allowing it to focus on hunting rifles and related ammunition only. We have a long heritage as a company of serving responsible hunters and sportsmen and women, and we're going to continue to doing so, according to a memo by Walmart CEO Doug McMillon, that will be circulated to employees Tuesday afternoon. Walmart is further requesting that customers refrain from openly carrying firearms at its stores unless they are law enforcement officers. Last month, a gunman entered a Walmart store in El Paso, Texas, and killed 22 people using an AK-style firearm that Walmart already bans the sale of. Texas became an open carry state in 2016, allowing people to openly carry firearms in public. Walmart's moves will reduce its market share of ammunition from around 20% to a range of about 6-9%, according to Tuesday's memo. About half of its more than 4,000 U.S. stores sell firearms. So, one of the things about this particular story, and not just Walmart, but Kroger stores also, and I know a lot of folks are like, Kroger don't even sell guns, like, but Kroger is a store that they were also asking people to stop openly carrying firearms in their establishments, right? Now, the thing is, and like, I know, like, for when these mass shootings and shit started happening, I was like really, really just like, I was glad I was on vacation because I didn't really feel like talking about this shit a lot because I know the feelings and I know the passion surrounding how people feel about the Second Amendment and how people feel about the types of firearms people are able to buy and people are able to use and things like that. And I know that I own one of the firearms that people are really, really, really upset about, you know? So I've gotten to a point where I've just like, I don't even bother like even trying to argue with people about this shit anymore. I'm just like, I know people are fucking up. I know people are like just being out here on this bullshit. But I think to some degree, a level of moderateness tends to get lost in these debates a lot of times. And so I know when something very extreme happens, there's an extreme response, and I'm just like, I'm caught in the middle, right? As a gun owner, as a Second Amendment proponent, I'm caught in the middle of a lot of these arguments, man, because I agree with a lot of things that a lot of gun control advocates would call for. I agree with a lot of that shit as a gun owner. But at the same time, I'm also like, but I don't know if I necessarily want to get rid of my shit. You know what I'm saying? And there's that shit. There's that thing in the middle. So one of the things about this particular story, man, was that when Walmart decided that they were going to ask folks to not carry their firearms openly in their establishments anymore. For one, as someone who primarily carries their weapon concealed anyway, I had no issue with that particular request whatsoever. Now, I know you need to be licensed to carry a weapon concealed, especially here in Michigan. You need to be licensed to carry it concealed. And so because you need to be licensed to carry it concealed, that comes with an additional cost. You have to go to a pistol safety course. You have to go through a range safety course. You have to make sure you're proficient with your weapon before you actually are even issued a certificate to say that you're competent with your weapon, so to speak, right? That you know how to unload it, that you know how to load it, that you know how to point and shoot, that you know how to, you know, decipher what a target is and what isn't, that you are abreast of the laws and what you're allowed to do concerning your firearm. You have to do that before you are able to even pass that course, before you even spend an additional amount of money to go and apply for your license. Now, even after you apply for your license, chances are you may not even be approved for said license here in Michigan, right? Like, you might not even get it. I remember the first time that I applied for my concealed carry license, I was denied. And the reason why I was denied was because your man Span had been arrested before. Now, the reason that I had been arrested had absolutely nothing to do with the firearm whatsoever. But in the due diligence of Wayne County, they were feeling like, yo, man, you've been arrested. You need to come in and come before the Wayne County Gun Board and explain to us what that arrest was for and whether or not we should issue this license or not. Now, it just turns out that at the time that I was arrested, it was it was some bullshit. Your man Span was actually looking for work. You know what I'm saying? I was looking for work. I was a door-to-door salesman, or at least I wasn't a door-to-door salesman. What happened was I applied for a marketing position that just so happened to be door-to-door sales, and this guy didn't have his permits, and the permits because I was just walking with the dude, so they issued tickets, and the company decided that because I was with him and stuff that they would pay the ticket. They didn't pay the ticket, and a year later I get pulled over by the state police for not wearing my seatbelt, and there was a warrant issued for my arrest. So I had to explain all of this stuff to the Wayne County Gun Board before they decided that they would issue me my concealed carry permit, right? So there's that additional cost. And then if you are denied, they don't refund you your money. You just lost that $115, right? So I know a lot of open carry proponents are like, man, I got to go through all this testing. I got to spend all this money. Because not only do you have to spend the money for the license, but you also have to spend the money for the class in order for you to get the license, right? So I got to spend this money. I got to buy this gun. I got to spend this money to get this class. Then I got to spend some money to get this license. And then on top of that, I might not even get it. And in Michigan, the thing is, if you don't want to carry concealed, you have to carry in the open if you decide that you want to carry a firearm in public. It has to be in the open. As a matter of fact, in Michigan, if you decide that you want to get in your car with your firearm, if you don't have a concealed carry license, you have to separate your ammunition from your firearm in order for you to ride legally with a gun in the car with you. Otherwise, it's considered concealed, right? So I know a lot of people in Michigan, now I'm speaking specifically about Michigan because this is my experience, but I know here in Michigan, there's a lot of people who are walking around right now who want to own a firearm and who want to go around carrying said firearm, but the only way they can legally do it is to carry that gun out in the open, right? It's the only way they can legally do it outside of paying the monies to go and get themselves a concealed carry license, okay? So it becomes an affordability thing issue for a lot of people. Now, I know some folks will say, like, hey, man, if you can afford to go spend $300, $400, $500 on a firearm, then you should also include that cost and the in your ability to carry said firearm. And I agree with you, which is why I went through the things, you know, the business of doing that, right? I spent that money to go get my license. I spent that money to go get that class and everything else, right? But at the same time, I agree with Kroger and I agree with Walmart. They're like, hey, man, like, listen, with the amount of things going on in America, with the mass shootings that are going on, not only in Texas, but also in Las Vegas, not only in Las Vegas, but also in Sanford, Florida, like all these different places, the Pulse nightclub, Aurora movie theater, Virginia Tech, all these different places. There's so many different mass shootings that are happening. Columbine, excuse me, Sandy Hook, all of these different mass shootings happening. We got to do something, right? And so Walmart is like, yo, not only have we been able to kind of help people obtain firearms and obtain ammunition easily, legally, but easily. But not only that, this happened in one of our establishments. And not only that, then you also have a wing of the gun nut where they feel like their rights are under assault because they want to carry weapons out in the open. So you had this idiot a few weeks ago walk into a Walmart or a Target, whatever fucking department store it was. He walked into a store with an AR-15 strapped to his back to test whether or not his Second Amendment rights were still intact. To test it. This was right after a mass shooting happened in an establishment with that same sort of fucking weapon. So on the gun ownership tip, like we looking at food like, man, look at this motherfucking fool. Right? Look at this fool. And no, he doesn't deserve to be walking around with that gun. Right? Most responsible gun owners are looking at him like a goddamn fool, just like the rest of y'all. Looking at him like he's a goddamn fool. So when Kroger decides that they are going to they're asking you. Here's the tripped out part about it. Because like I said, I'm a gun owner. I walk around with a gun. This is kind of my existence. When Kroger decides, or Kroger and Walmart decided, like, hey, man, we just going to ask y'all, like, for the sake of everybody else, for the sake of everybody, that if you are going to carry a gun, that you carry your shit concealed, that you don't carry it out in the open, because it makes people uncomfortable. Now, here's the thing that I want to ask my fellow gun owners, especially my gun owners who are open carry proponents, right? Because I've never really been a fan of open carry. Like, I'm going to be 100% honest with you, right? So one of the things about open carry that a lot of gun owners will tell you is, first, it's a constitutional right. It's my constitutional right to be able to bear arms, you know, like you get that argument. But then the other part of it is like, you supposedly using this particular tool, because I view guns as a tool. You're using this tool as a means to protect yourself and protect those around you should anything happen, right? Where does your intimidation of the soccer mom or the grill pit master or whatever enter into that equation? Because when you're walking into a Target, when you're walking into a Walmart, you're not walking into a tactical situation. Most of those people are just going about their day. Some of them are going there to buy groceries. Some of them were there to go get school supplies. Some of them might be going to get yard supplies to get, you know, like, yo, fall is coming. I got to make sure that my yard is good for the wintertime. You know, I got to prep for it. So my shit going to be beaming next year. Right? Not many of them are thinking, hey, man, some terrorists are going to walk up in here and we got to be ready for them. Right. And so you walking in there with this firearm out in the open, a lot of times I always just kind of look at them as like kind of goofy. I've always thought open carry was some goofy ass shit, some lame ass shit, because first of all, it looks like, and I'm just going to be keeping a buck to me. It looks like, first of all, you want everybody in here to know you just got you a gun. You want everybody to know. And I've seen a vast array of different people walk into a store and stuff like that, and they got a firearm on their hip or whatever. I've seen this. I'm carrying too, but nobody fucking knows it. Right? But they walk in and you can tell all eyes are on them and they know it. They know it. They want that level of, they want that attention. They want people to look at them. Right? especially if you're not the police, man. Like, people are looking at me, what the fuck is this shit? You know? But they want people to know that they got a gun. Now, as a person who carries a firearm, one of the things that I think about, if shit was to hit the fan, one of the things that I always think about is the fact that, like, yo, if you are out here open carrying and this shit hit the fan, I'm of the mindset that, like, yo, if they know I got a gun because my shit out in the open, guess who they taking out first? I pose the most immediate threat to whatever the fuck it is that they got going on in there, because I'm also armed. So why wouldn't they come after me first? Right? It never made sense to me to be walking around with your gun out in the open. Now, y'all know I couldn't walk up the streets with my AR-15. I couldn't do that because I'm black. I draw way too much attention. Nigga, I would be dead before they even pulled up. Somebody would have shot me and it wasn't even the police. Hey, it's a black guy walking up and down the street with an AR-15 strapped to his back. This guy is presenting a goddamn threat and I will not stand for it. Right? So there's a level of that racism shit going on here too. But I have no issue with Walmart and Kroger asking people to not openly carry a firearm in their establishments, because it makes their customers uncomfortable. And if you are about the Second Amendment and protecting people and protecting your rights and everything else, how about allowing people to go about their day not feeling scared that you might be the motherfucker that's going to come in there to kill him? Hey, I just came here to get some ribs, bruh. I didn't come here to get the ribs and watch you parade around with your strap. I didn't come here for that. And then that also prevents people from coming into their establishments. Now, I would hate, like, well, not even that. It ain't even so much about hate, because I'm sure that, like, at a certain point, it's going to get to a point where, like, you're going to have police officers stationed at Walmarts and Kroger's and everything else just posted, because you're going to have somebody who wants to come in there and test this shit. And they're typically the guys who really want to test these laws and shit, or test these new regulations, are usually old white dudes. Usually old white dudes. There's never some black dude who walks up in a goddamn Walmart or walks in a Target like, hey, I'm gonna test this out. You know why? Because we get shot and killed for shit like that. We get shot and killed for much, much less. Right? So Walmart, Kroger is like, yo, we don't want y'all carrying guns in here. Or better yet, if you're going to carry a gun, please, man, just keep your shit covered up. And the reason why I know a lot of folks on the left are adamant about just, hey, man, just take all they shit, is because you got stupid motherfuckers who are calling themselves gun proponents who don't think that anything is reasonable when it comes to controlling guns, or who has them, or how they're how they're even carried about. So I was on Facebook earlier this week and I just posted on the story. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, man, shit, I ain't got no problem with that. As a gun owner, I have no problem with that. Like, I have no problem with covering up my gun to walk into a Walmart to go get what the fuck it is I need to do. Right? And some asshole gets on there like, nobody here believes you have a gun. You can stop with that lie right now. And his reasoning was that because I was open to concealing my handgun in public, that I therefore didn't own a firearm. Come on, man. Come on, man. And it's usually some dude from some really, really, really safe ass place, right? That is so gung-ho about these gun rights. This motherfucker was from Rochester Hills, Michigan. Rochester Hills, man. Not a whole lot going on in Rochester Hills. Not a whole lot going on in Utica, Michigan. But these were the guys who were coming at me, right? The guy from the south side of Chicago and the guy that grew up on the west side of Detroit. These are the guys who were thinking that I don't know anything about guns, that I don't know, that I wouldn't own a gun because I'm open to the fact that, you know, people are uncomfortable around these things. And hey, maybe if I can move around and not make people uncomfortable and not draw attention to myself, that I somehow don't own the fire. It's crazy. It's crazy. And it makes me understand why people would be like, nah, fuck it. Just take all they shit. Take all they guns. Now, the reason why I own guns, partially, I mean, as I've said on this show plenty of times before, home protection and personal protection is why I own firearms. Now, I know a lot of people would say, like, yo, you don't need an AR-15 to do that. And I would say to those people, you don't determine what the fuck it is that I need in my house to do what it is I need to do. You do not make that determination, right? You see, you protect your family how you see fit, and I will do so with mine. Okay? At the same time, I can understand why people want something done. Hell, I want something done. As a gun owner, I want something done. Some of this shit that is going on right now is unfathomable, right? But to see, you know, Kroger and Walmart decide that they wanted to get rid of open carry in their establishments, hey, I got no problem with it. I think they're going to run into a lot of pushback from these extreme right motherfuckers who just like, it's a slippery slope. They're taking away our rights. Like, man, you going to get watermelon, bro. Do you really need the strap to get the watermelon? Does everybody need to know you got the strap to get the watermelon? And if you got your hands filled with the watermelon, how quick are you going to be to get to the strap? A lot of y'all out here living motherfucking Rambo dreams and shit. You ain't Rambo, bro, and it's just a movie. It's just a movie. So yeah, man, that's in the news, man. Like I was looking at that. It's like, man, like to see the reaction to how to see the pushback on that. I'm not surprised by it, but at the same time, it is like it's still crazy. The other thing that's crazy when we're talking about these guns is the fact that not even after these mass shootings happened in Texas, that the state of Texas has decided that they will actually loosen the laws that allows access to handguns or guns, period, in that state. All right, we're reading this story here. This comes out of CNN.com. It says a series of new firearm laws will go into effect in Texas next month, further loosening gun restrictions in a state that has had 4 of the 10 deadliest mass shootings in modern U.S. history. The laws passed before a gunman massacred 22 people and injured dozens in El Paso last weekend will make it easier to have guns in a state with some of the most lax weapon restrictions in the nation. Here are the key firearm laws going into effect on September 1st. House Bill 1143 says a school district cannot prohibit licensed gun owners, including school employees, from storing a firearm or ammunition in a locked vehicle on a school parking lot, provided they are not in plain view. Chris Brown, president of gun violence prevention advocacy group Brady, criticized the bill going into effect September 1st. Many states took the opportunity in the last 2 years to learn lessons from the tragedies in Las Vegas, Sutherland Springs, Parkland, and every other everyday gun violence that plagues our citizens and enacted new laws to protect public safety through expanded background checks and extreme risk laws, which allow families and law enforcement to remove guns temporarily from individuals at risk, harming themselves or others, Brown said. Texas lawmakers, instead of reacting to the horrific shooting in Santa Fe by focusing on keeping guns out of dangerous hands or even emphasizing safe guns storage of guns, instead doubled down on an NRA-led agenda to encourage guns everywhere, no matter the risk and safety cost and safety. House Bill 1387 loosens restrictions on how many armed school marshals a school district can appoint. House Bill 2363 allows some foster homes to store firearms and ammunition in a safe and secure place for personal protection. Proper storage must be followed, the bill says, including putting firearms and ammunition together in the same locked locations. It also goes into effect September 1st. House Bill 302 bans homeowners or landlords of rental properties from prohibiting residents from lawfully possessing, carrying, transporting, or storing a firearm or ammunition in the property. House Bill 1177 prohibits residents from being charged with a crime for carrying a handgun while evacuating from a state or a local disaster area. Wait, that was okay. Clarified. Let's see. Senate Bill 3535 clarifies the possession of firearms at churches, synagogues, or other places of worship. It allows licensed handgunners to legally carry their weapons in places of worship and comes nearly 2 years after a gunman killed 26 people at Sutherland Springs Church. So they've allowed for the, like, many of these places used to be gun free zones, what they would call gun free zones. And they've allowed for them no longer to be considered gun-free zones. I know the argument against it. I know the argument against it is that if you allow for a place to be a gun-free zone, then someone who is armed, someone who wants to do harm to these places. They know they won't meet any resistance, and they will therefore target these places because they know that it won't meet much resistance. That is the argument against gun-free zones. It's usually relegated to schools, government buildings, stadiums, and theaters. To which I will say, like, when you have masses of people and there's a bunch of confusion, could much likely lead to more people getting shot. Because I doubt very seriously that the guy who's walking around with a concealed carry permit, who has his pistol on him and the shit hits the fan, is going to be ready to, is actually going to be ready to confront that threat, right? And not only that, you're dealing with a whole bunch of people, many of whom don't know what's happening, many of whom don't know who the threat is, and then you present your firearm as a supposed good guy. And now they trampling your ass. You may be confused for the bad guy because you wanted to be the good guy, but because this situation doesn't permit for you to be so, yeah, it could very well end up in more people being hurt. Also, it could end up in you being hurt. I could see both sides of it. This is where I'm like jammed in the middle. I can see both sides of it, but I think it's tone deaf, I do think it's tone deaf for the state of Texas after having two mass shootings happen in that state recently, for them to loosen the ability for more people to carry guns and in more places and more, you know, more open places. Like, I think it's very much tone deaf, and it speaks to the level of disconnect that I think a lot of Republicans have with the public at large. And most of this is because Republicans tend to, for the most part, when it comes to the popular votes, most people are tending to lean a certain way. And Republicans are losing in that way. And I think this is just another example of some sort like of minority rule, so to speak. Well, like, you know, Texas being a red state, I don't know. But I think it's tone deaf. I think it's tone deaf that they would allow for this sort of shit to happen. And God hope, like, Lord knows I hope nothing else happens there, because they are so fucking far up the ass of the gun lobby that they would allow for someone else to be killed because of the way in which they've relaxed the laws there concerning gun ownership, gun transportation, and gun allowability in places that used not, that before did not allow for those sorts of weapons to be in place there. So there's that. That's in the news. Now, another story that's in the news as we come off of this gun story, as we come off of the gun talk. Another story that's going on here in the news is North Carolina, man. North Carolina is in the news because a judge in North Carolina, or a three-judge panel, has decided that North Carolina has to redraw their maps, their legislative maps, because they have been gerrymandered to the Republican advantage. Right, we're reading a story here. This comes out of CBSNews.com. It says the North Carolina Judicial Panel rejected state legislative district maps Tuesday, saying legislators took extreme advantage in drawing voting districts to help elect a maximum number of Republican lawmakers. The judges gave lawmakers 2 weeks to try again. The three-judge panel of state trial judges unanimously ruled that courts can step in to decide when partisan advantage goes so far it diminishes democracy. Their ruling comes after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in June in a separate case involving North Carolina's congressional map that it is not the job of federal courts to decide its boundaries if boundaries are politically unfair, though state courts could consider whether gerrymandering stands up under state laws and constitutions. The state judges found that the way that the majority Republican General Assembly redrew legislative district maps in 2017 violated the rights of Democratic voters under the state constitution's equal protection and freedom of assembly clauses. Since partisan intent predominated over all other redistricting criteria resulted in extreme partisan gerrymandered legislative maps, the judges wrote, The effect of these carefully crafted partisan maps is that in all but the most unusual election scenarios, the Republican Party will control a majority of both chambers of the General Assembly. In other words, the court finds that in many election environments, it is carefully crafted maps and not the will of the voters that dictate the election outcomes in a significant number of legislative districts, and ultimately the majority control the General Assembly. And so we've seen this happen over and over and over again in states all over the country. Like here in Michigan, we voted last November to create a commission that will determine the maps here in the state, a nonpartisan commission that would determine the legislative maps here in the state. We've seen gerrymandered maps all across the South. I mean, just everywhere. It's not just the South. It's happening everywhere where you're finding more and more Republicans are using this tactic of gerrymandering legislative districts in order to gain control of a legislature despite the fact that they're receiving less votes, right? Because this confounds a lot of people. And I mean, even when we start talking about the presidential nomination and the presidential election, where like, yo, this motherfucker lost by 3 million votes and yet he still gets to be the president. How the fuck does that work? How is that a democracy at all? And in many of the same ways, Republicans are using these mechanisms to try to keep a death grip on control so that they would have some measure of control to block legislation that they don't like, to blunt the power of an executive that they don't like. Take, for instance, here in Michigan, right? We've got a newly elected Democratic governor after having Governor Rick Snyder here for 8 years, right? But we still have a mostly Republican led legislature here in the state, where we can't even come to an agreement on what the budget is going to be or what fiduciary priorities we should have as far as what monies get spent here in the state and where we target those monies, because there's still that Republican-led legislature. So if the Governor Whitmer campaigns on the fact that she wants to fix the damn roads, which is her actual campaign slogan, fix the damn roads, but the Republican legislature like, nah, we're not going to give you no money for that. We're not taking no money away from our shit to give you money for that shit. No, and then they can say that. They can take that. Well, okay. Well, you campaign on fixing the damn roads, and yet the roads still ain't fixed. Never mind, we ain't give you the money that you needed to do it. All we know is you promised us that we was going to get the damn roads fixed, and we wasn't going to try to help you with that because, you know, that would therefore mean we couldn't get the damn job back when the re-election time comes along. Right? It's that sort of game. And so in North Carolina, it was so prevalent. There, like, I believe it was a federal court judge back like maybe a year and a half ago that said that they were like laser target on disenfranchising black voters. So the Republican Party in North Carolina been running roughshod on the rights of the voters for a while. So for the fact that this judicial panel saw straight through that shit, and the fact that everybody now knows how the Republican Party rolls when it comes to not only voter registration, voter purging, gerrymandering districts. This is how the Republican Party stays current. This is how the Republican Party stays in control in a lot of states, because they rigged the game that way. So, yeah, man, for the judges to come through and like strike that down and get a motherfucker. Hey, you got 2 weeks to do it, and you got to do this shit out in the open, and everybody got to see the process. Yeah, man, that's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing for democracy. And, yo, that has been our news, man. All right, now y'all know what time it is.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right, our first story here in blue blazes is, speaking of our governor here in Michigan, man, she done pissed a lot of motherfuckers off, y'all. So, apparently, vaping has become a national health hazard, supposedly. And the governor of Michigan has just said that she will ban flavored vaping here in the state.
It's not never.
Yep, apparently that's happening. So we're going to read the story here that comes out of ClickOnDetroit.com, which is NBC here in Detroit. And it says Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's immediate ban of flavored e-cigarettes products is unsurprisingly drawing criticism. Says the Michigan governor has used her executive power to put in place a six-month ban on flavored e-cigarettes. The ban is in effect immediately and can be extended another 6 months at the end of these first 6 months. Governor Whitmer wants state legislators to write the ban into law. She wants a warning for these products from the federal government, such as the one for cigarettes, but until that happens, she wants this ban for Michigan. The American Vaping Association calls Whitmer's executive move a shameless attempt at backdoor prohibition. The group, which advocates for what it calls sensible regulation of vaping products, said Whitmer's ban is legal and lawsuits will follow. This will close down several hundred Michigan small businesses and could send tens of thousands of ex-smokers back to deadly combustible cigarettes. Reads a statement from the AVP. These businesses and their customers will not go down without a fight. We look forward to supporting the lawsuits that now appear necessary to protect the right of adults to access these harm reduction products. That's how they're marketing these harm reduction products. In this country, laws are made by legislators, not governors, desperate for press attention. Anyone who fears the product out of an out-of-control government should be appalled by this attempt by the executive branch to unilaterally ban adult products. Even more absurd, this ban attempt is coming just months after the Michigan legislature wisely prohibited sales of vaping products to minors. Governor Whitmer's ban will create a massive multi-million-dollar black market for these products, which are the same conditions that led to the recent spate of lung illnesses that are now clearly linked to illegal THC vaping products. The CDC is now specifically warning against vaping, homemade vaping products, yet this is the exact kind of behavior that a state-instituted flavor ban will do. The AVP says that businesses will have these products in their inventory, are being given a 30-day sell-off window to get the products out the door. Now, what they could do is discount that shit, right? People going to go, hey, nigga, we got this shit 75% off, man. We got to get this shit out here, right? Couple things, man. I'm not a smoker. I don't knock people who smoke. I remember years ago, man, I used to like wonder, like, you know, when it came to weed consumption, I'm not going to lie. When it came to weed consumption, and I used to wonder why, like, if folks know that it would, like, kind of cost them their gig, right? Like, why you would continue to do it, you know? So, like, that was my only real objection to, like, the weed. Was like, yo, it's illegal. You could lose your job for smoking it. Like, why would you risk your livelihood for this? You know what I'm saying? That was the calculus in my mind. Now, a lot of states have gone on to, legalize marijuana in the state. I know my employer, I know it's legalized here in Michigan, like for recreational use and everything. But I know my employer, because of the type of work that I do, I can still be let go because of the kind of work that I do and because of who, you know, and all that other stuff. Right. So I can still be let go. But I always just kind of wonder, like, OK, like, is it really that good for you to risk all of that? Now, the thing with the vaping thing, like, I know vaping has become like a real big, you know, you see kids on YouTube and shit, like, showing you all types of smoke tricks they doing and everything else with these vaping, with the vaping and everything. And I just always saw this as like, you know, big tobacco's attempt to like, OK, we can't really, the cigarettes ain't really selling much anymore. We got to sell them. You know, they taxing the fuck out of them. We got to figure out another way to make money. OK, here's the way we're going to do it. I've always just kind of seen it like that. Like, even with the, like, people act as though, like, they say it is a harm reduction product, right? Now, some folks then got sick using this shit. Now, they said it is not even, like, it's not legally sanctioned, whatever the fuck it was that they was using, but I'm sure that they were using them with their products. I don't know, man. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just looking at this whole thing. Like, man, like, I didn't know that you could like ban, like, I didn't know that a governor could ban a product by themselves though. Like, real talk. I did not know that was a thing. Until now, Governor Whitmer taught me that you could just ban some shit. Now I'm wondering like what that could further lead to if a governor of a state could just say, okay, this is something that I don't like, or this is something that we don't like. We can therefore say you don't play this or you don't partake in this. So like, does a video game become a thing that a governor can ban? Does a movie become a thing that a governor can ban because of how they perceive the effect on the public? I don't know. As far as the vaping thing is concerned, I kind of want to hear more from vapers, because this is y'all's thing. Like, I kind of want to hear more from smokers, not just vapers, but smokers, period. Like, how y'all feel about this, because I'm going to be 100% honest with y'all. Like, because I don't vape and because I don't smoke, I don't care as much as I know some of y'all would. And y'all would probably be better able to educate me on why this is so fucked up. Outside of, like, yo, I didn't know that the governor can do some shit like this, right? So I know here in Michigan, supposedly flavored vaping stuff is now rendered illegal, right? So that's in the news. Another story, I mean, not in the news, that's in Blue Blazes. Another story here in Blue Blazes, man, that I think is kind of wild, man. So we've been talking about this Popeye shit for 2.5 weeks now, man. 2.5 weeks. And I'm sure that these niggas have also been following this Popeye story for just as long. But apparently there was some niggas that took their asses up into a Popeyes with some straps. They had the guns with him. And they was demanding the goddamn chicken sandwich.
Not never.
Yeah, that was, you know what? I wonder which one of them thought
yes,
it was.
Yes, that sounds like an excellent idea.
How did you figure that was an excellent idea to go up into a goddamn Popeyes and demand a goddamn chicken sandwich when they didn't already told you they sold out? So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of Channel 7 here in Detroit. It says, Houston police are searching for a group of people who demanded Popeyes chicken sandwiches at gunpoint Monday night. Authorities say that 3 men and 2 women stormed the front door of the restaurant. Ooh, shit. Excuse me. Ooh. With at least one weapon. They had just been told at the drive-thru window that the store was sold out of the popular sandwiches. An employee was able to lock the doors before the 5 could get inside. The group left a baby inside their vehicle as they tried to enter the restaurant. There were no injuries reported. Police are trying to develop descriptions of the suspects. Now, first of all,
God damn!
It's a sandwich, bruh. It's a sandwich. It ain't that deep. Y'all storming the store with the guns for a sandwich, bruh? Really? This is what we doing? Has 2019 reduced us to this? Has Donald Trump's presidency reduced us to this? Seriously? Y'all going to... It's a sandwich, man. Now, y'all, these are the niggas that get a hoteps like all the shit in the world to talk about. Let's see these niggas up here robbing niggas for sandwiches, but they won't take their ass to vote. Like, these are the niggas that these people be talking about right here. These niggas right here. I'm sure, like, man, you went to the Popeyes, you heard about this sandwich, it ain't there no more. Everybody been talking about it. They told you you sold out. You thought you producing the gun was gonna get them to produce the sandwich? Is that what you thought? Really? Yeah. I don't know, man. That's in Blue Blazes. Another story. That's in Blue Blazes, man. Azalea Banks. Azalea Banks is in the news. Well, she's on social media timelines acting a fool. And the reason why she's acting a fool is because Lizzo is popular. And she don't like that shit. Lizzo is popping. Ain't nobody checking for Azalea Banks. She don't like that shit. Let's read what Complex has to say about it. It says, Lizzo has so much to celebrate right now, including Truth Hurts topping the Billboard Hot 100, but someone isn't happy about it. Azalea Banks, who has spent most of her career talking down the success and appearance of others, has taken aim at Lizzo once again in a series of harsh and wholly unnecessary Instagram comments. Shout out to Complex for the editorializing. It says, laughing my ass off at the fact that the public and the media has been keeping this fat girl joke going on for so long is honestly peak boredom, said Banks, holder of 0 Hot 100 top 10 singles. The song is not good, nor is the dumpy fat girl spectacle live set she does. Saddest bit is that the girl is legit talented and truly only being allowed to shine so long as she allows herself to be this millennial mammy of sorts. So far in 2019, Azalea Banks has beefed with Vince Staples, Kenny Beats and Rico Nasty, Cardi B, and Twitter founder Jack Dorsey. Queen Latifah was able to represent for larger women without being a disgusting or being a minstrel, Banks continues. So was Missy Elliott. Laughing my ass off, Lizzo is really millennial mammy. I'm ready for this joke to be over. Now, for those of you who are fans of Azalea Banks, how many Grammys does she have right now? How many American Music Awards does she have right now? Does Azalea Banks have a BET award? How about like an image award? Does she have one of those? She got like an NAACP image award at all? Does Azalea Banks have any motherfucking thing going on other than talking shit about more successful black female artists than her? Like, this is pretty much her thing, man. Like, I remember, like, years ago, this is like maybe 2-3 years ago, I was on Twitter and I basically just said that, like, man, I'm like, man, it's sad. The sad part about this whole Azalea Banks thing is that, like, she's known more for her Instagram and Twitter beefs than any motherfucking music she's ever put out. I said that on Twitter, and Azalea Banks responded to that. She called herself clowning my couch and shit. Like, I thought it was like kind of funny. And she said, nobody listens to my podcast. All five of y'all, don't nobody listen, right? All five of us. There ain't nobody listening. But interestingly enough, ain't nobody listening to your shit either, B. Ain't nobody listening to you either. Because that's all you do. This is all you do is go after anybody who is much more successful than you. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Like, and not only that, like, she's got a hive, right? Which is interesting, like which is strange enough for me. Like, you, because, like, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing about, like, the Twitter thing. Like, there's the adage that because if you have a, you know, least amount of Twitter followers compared to the person that you're, you know, maybe going back and forth with, it somehow that makes whatever it is that you say irrelevant, or whatever it is that you're saying invalid, or whatever it is that you're saying wrong, right? So Azalea Banks comes at me on Twitter, and suddenly I get a gang of motherfucking people that are really in search of attention. A gang of people coming in my mentions on Twitter to tell me how great Azalea Banks is and how much of a hater I am and everything else. And the whole time I'm just thinking, like, man, I ain't never been that much of a fan to where I'm gonna come at some nigga I don't know to defend this other nigga that I don't know, because this nigga that I don't know, the original nigga that I don't know, might be telling the truth about this nigga that I really like. Right? Like, I've never, like, it was strange, right? To see the hive, you know, that whole hive thing. We're like, oh man, he coming at Azalea Banks. Like, okay, so Azalea Banks, all I said was I know her more for the bullshit on Twitter than I do for any music that she put out. If I have to Google the music that she put out, then that somehow solidifies my point that we don't know her. She don't go here. You know? So you got that going on. But it's this thing where she constantly does this with other black female artists, where she has to talk shit about them, talk down about them in order to get attention about herself. It's all an attention grab. And I guess I'm playing into it by even talking about it here on the podcast, but it's an attention grab. Because think about this, man. Like, you know, her talking shit about Lizzo ain't gonna make Lizzo shit less hot. Now, I'm not even a Lizzo fan. I don't even know what Lizzo sings, bruh. Real talk, I see Lizzo on TV. I see her on, like, music, you know, award shows and stuff. I hear other podcasters talk about her. I know that Lizzo is an artist. She's from Detroit, right? Know all of that stuff. That don't mean I'm, like, the target audience for her music. And that also doesn't mean that I have to hate her for being popular, right? I don't have to do that. And I don't. I don't. I know she popping because even though I'm not listening to her, I hear about her a lot. Who's the last time anybody told you that about Azalea Banks, though? You know? It ain't happening. It ain't happening. So, yo, I'm going to just say this, man. Azalea Banks, if you're listening, along with the five other listeners that I got, if you're listening to Azalea Banks, you know, you try to blow out her candle, ain't going to make your candle shine any brighter, man. Like, it ain't going to happen. Like, if you were actually out here putting that much work in on your music and, like, not being on the bullshit, maybe you'd pop. But you done burned so many motherfucking bridges with people that I think it's almost to a point now where, like, this is your existence. You are here now to exist as a troll. It's a sad existence. And you might want to seek help for it. Might want to seek help for it. But, yeah, man, that's crazy. And that has been Blue Blazes.
What in Blue Blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazes?
All right, y'all know what time it is now, though.
That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
All right, that's enough of that shit. It's time for Proud to Be an American. And y'all know what we're going to do? We're going to start our Proud to Be an American with the, like, the what's that? Like, the American Spokes Barbie? Tommy Lauren. Tommy Lauren is in Proud to Be an American this week. Now, we know Tommy Lauren for being, like, this right-wing firebrand man who talks a whole bunch of shit about stuff she don't really know the fuck about. Right? Talks a whole bunch of stuff. But the reason why Tommy Lauren is on the Span Report podcast this week is because she's got a new clothing line coming out, right? And it's American inspired, you know, clothing line is American inspired. You know, you're going to have flags and probably have like print out of the Constitution on your leggings or something like that. You know, for those of you who want to carry your patriotism on your sleeve, you know, you want to wear it on your sleeve. Right. But check this out, though. Her clothing line, which is called Freedom. God damn it. They ain't even make the shit in America. So we're going to read this here. This comes out of BusinessInsider.com. It says that Fox News commentator Tommy Lauren announced Friday that her Freedom Elite Athleisure line is not made in the United States. After the line was announced a week earlier, critics were quick to point out the range of sports bras, leggings, and other garments offered, offered in star-spangled and camouflage prints were made in China.
What?
I said her clothes were made in China.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Lauren wrote on Twitter alongside a statement from Alexo Athletica CEO Amy Robbins that the brand that is producing the line aims to be made in America and is still working towards that, but increased labor costs and heightened regulations push their production overseas to China, which their president is in a trade war with, putting tariffs on everything coming from that fucking place. So hold on. Let me get this straight. The tariffs ain't going to cost us more money to buy your shit. The tariffs ain't going to cost us more money. Like many American small business owners, Alexo aims to be that made in America. Lauren wrote, we are working towards that. Due to the increased labor cost, you mean you got to pay Americans. Let's just keep that a buck. You got to pay Americans. labor costs and heightened regulations many U.S.-based manufacturers face. We were left with little option but to manufacture overseas to start out. The statement from Robbins read, we're working diligently to bring our manufacturing back home to the U.S. and work with other hardworking companies that pride themselves on integrity and quality. Lauren announced a line with a defiant Instagram post that claimed that she had been told that she was too controversial to have an athleisure line. Well, apparently you're not American enough either, because your shit made in China. Your shit made in China, B. How you gonna be out here talking all this American patriotism, all this American exceptionalism, and your shit made in China? Come on, man. The grift is out here wide open. And this is the part that, like, they really try to make it out like, yo, man, we really can't afford to make our shit here because it costs too much money to make it. No, it just means you gotta pay people to do the shit. And you ain't willing to pay people that working wage, man. You would much rather them be minimum wage workers doing that shit and making you rich. Let's just keep it a buck. As opposed to some skilled laborers who know what the fuck it is that they doing and are going to demand that they be paid as such. You know, like Americans should, right? That American exceptionalism, it doesn't only just work one way. But yeah, man, Tommy Lauren out here selling you this American expired shit that's made in China. But, you know, some fool is going to buy it. That's in Proud to Be an American. Now, another story that's here in Proud to Be an American is in Mississippi, man. I can't necessarily say that I'm surprised because it is Mississippi. All right. It is Mississippi. But in Mississippi, a rental hall has refused to host an interracial wedding. And they use the Bible, of course. They use the Bible to justify why they wouldn't do it. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of the NewYorkTimes.com. It says the refusal to host. Wait. Let's see. The owners of an event hall in northeastern Mississippi apologized on Tuesday after refusing to host a wedding for an interracial couple. An exchange captured on a widely viewed video saying that they incorrectly believed that interracial marriage went against their Christian belief, which means they wasn't reading their Bible. which means they wasn't reading their Bible, because they sure as hell were like, nah, we not doing that because of our Christian beliefs. Oh shit, it says in the Bible nothing about interracial marriages. My bad. Says the story of the groom, LaCambria Welch, said her brother, who is black, and his fiance, who is white, had been in touch for about a week with Boone's Camp Event Hall in Boonesville, Mississippi, about having their wedding there. But then the couple received a message, according to Miss Welch, that said that they could not proceed because of the owner's personal beliefs. Miss Welch, 24, says she went to the venue with her mother on Saturday to inquire about the refusal. She filmed part of the interaction she had with a woman at the venue and posted the video on Facebook, where it drew widespread condemnation. "We don't do gay weddings or mixed race because of our Christian race. I mean, our Christian beliefs," the woman told Miss Welch in the video. "I don't want to argue my faith. We just don't participate." Miss Welch said that she was shaken by the episode. "It really broke my heart to actually hear her say those things," Miss Welch said. She added that Donna Russell, the owner of the event hall, had apologized privately, and that Miss Welch and her family had accepted the apology. Boone's Camp Event Hall said in a statement on Tuesday that the owners had previously been taught to believe that interracial marriage was against the teachings of the Bible. The owners realized that they were wrong after they consulted with their pastor and others, the statement said. Now, I'm going to say this right now, and I've been saying this shit on this podcast for a minute now, right? This is why when I'm talking about like anything regarding discrimination against the LGBTQ community, that I always link this shit back to what happens in race relations here in America. I always do it. And this is the reason why I do it, is because they will always go back. They run along the same parallels, right? If you could justify not servicing LGBTQ customers at an establishment because you want to say that it goes against your Christian beliefs, what then therefore stops them from saying that, hey, I'm also going to not do this interracial thing because it interferes with my Christian beliefs? It's bullshit. It's bullshit. And it's why I always link these things when I'm talking about the LGBTQ community. I always link it back to this, what happens in race relations, because I know a lot of people, and I know a lot of motherfuckers who listen to me to be like, man, here this nigga go with this shit again. But it's like, how can you not see it? How can you not see it? If they could go to the Bible and justify them not being able to get a cake or service them in their establishment, and then they go back to their Bible and say, well, I ain't got to serve your black ass either because it's against my religion. So y'all always think it just stops right there, and it doesn't. It doesn't, which is why I keep linking them. And I know a lot of dudes especially get frustrated when I talk about this shit. I'm gonna put it right in your face every fucking time, because I'm basically tearing. It's you gotta see it, man. You gotta see it. And I know some of y'all are just being willfully ignorant. Some of y'all just like you want to sit in that space where like, OK, well, the discrimination stops here. And it's also why what Dave Chappelle was saying on that special was kind of fucked up, because Dave Chappelle also tried to make some sort of correlation between the LGBTQ community and the black community. But he was making it as though the LGBTQ community had some sort of advantage over black people. Not exactly, you know, understanding the intertwining of both of them, that intersection between blackness and queerness. And sometimes you got black and queer together in one person. Right. That's why I always make that connection. And I know it frustrates a lot of people. But if they can go to that Bible and say that, hey, I ain't got to do this interracial thing, you know, what's to stop them from saying, I ain't got to service your black ass at all because of my religious beliefs? I believe that the races should be separate, right? What's to stop them from doing that? So this happens in Mississippi. I mean, of course, it is Mississippi. And I'm not going to, you know, shout out to my people from Mississippi. Hell, my family started in Mississippi. I've never been in Mississippi a day in my life. But my grandma's from Mississippi. There's a reason why her ass moved away from there. I'm not surprised about what's going on there. But at the same time, I need y'all to understand it, like, yo, just because it's happening over here doesn't mean that can't bring his ass right on back over this way. And as black people, I kind of feel like, yo, man, we ain't got the luxury of being like, yo, we can discriminate against other people too who are also marginalized. We ain't got that luxury. We don't. Because it's not that far down the line where it starts hitting us too. if not worse and first sometimes. So, yeah, man. That's in proud to be an American, man. They said we had to go back to our pastor and find out that we was wrong. Y'all ain't read none of that damn Bible. None of it. Because ain't shit in that Bible saying nothing about you can't marry interracially. That's bullshit. It always has been bullshit. So, yeah, man. Another story. And proud to be an American. This is going to be interesting, too, man. I might even make a poll on this one. But here in Michigan, man, a 7-Eleven clerk was caught on video washing his feet in the sink near the coffee. We're going to read this. As a matter of fact, I think there might be video attached to this. Let me see if I can pull this video up. If there's video, then we'll play that. There is video. So let me pull this up so you guys can watch this here with me. Hold on just a second, because they got video of this man washing his feet in the sink. Let's do this. All right. There we go. All right. So let's see. Let's go ahead and maximize that. And rewind this and turn it up. All right, here we go, y'all.
Closer to home, a 7-Eleven employee in Roseville caught on video washing his feet in a sink not far from food and customers. As the company investigates this, we're now hearing from the man captured on that controversial video and the woman who recorded him. 7 Action News reporter Simon Chowdhury is live outside the 7-Eleven on Gratiot near 13 Mile in Roseville. And Simon, first of all, when did this happen?
Well, Alicia, according to the woman, she said this happened last month, but she is posting it on social media now because she said she brought it to store officials' attentions and she felt that they didn't have a sense of urgency. Now, check out this video. It is pretty gross, if you ask me. You can see an employee washing his feet in a sink near a coffee machine and grill station. The employee says it was time to pray, and that requires washing of the hands, face, arms, and feet 5 times a day. Now, it's unclear if there was a more private area to prep for prayer, but our Rudy Harper talked to both the employee and the woman who saw it happen.
As I was walking in, I could hear him loudly spitting in the sink, and that's what initiated me wanting to record. And then when I started recording, that's when that happened while I was at the ATM machine. So the other customer that walked in with me walked right back out.
That was for my prayer time.
Your prayer time. Oh, prayer time. So that's why you had to wash your feet.
Yeah, wash your hand, face, and feet.
And feet. Yeah. But do you think it's okay to do that in the sink in the public where people can see you?
No. When the public was not there.
Okay, well, somebody recorded that video of you.
He didn't know he was being recorded.
It's my prayer time.
Well, 7-Eleven officials say that cleanliness is their top priority. They are now investigating, and a recent health report for this location shows there were no major health violations here, but the state is now investigating. We're live in Roseville. I'm Simon Chowdhury for 7 Action News.
All right. So one thing. Yeah, I agree that I don't necessarily want to see this man cleaning his feet in the sink by like the coffee, especially if I was getting ready to like buy some coffee. I don't want this man's feet near my coffee where I'm about to put my mouth on a cup or something like that. I don't want to see any of that. But here's the thing. Like, this man possibly is about to lose that job. The state is about to investigate whether or not there's something going on there at the store with, you know, cleanliness or whatever. That man about to lose his job. He's a clerk at 7-Eleven. He's a Muslim. And a woman who videotaped this man doing this was, a white lady who, like, all right, I felt like they didn't have a sense of urgency about this, right? I'm going to say this, man. That man said he was washing his feet, washing his hands, washing his face, because he was practicing his Muslim faith and he's required to wash his hands, feet, and face while praying 5 times a day. And the reason why I bring this up is because apparently this man was practicing his religion, right? That man was practicing his religion. Where's his religious freedom, man? Right? Where's his religious freedom? I mean, shit, I mean, how many of y'all out here washing y'all feet five times a day that ain't Muslim? How many of y'all wash y'all hands at least five times a day? I see some of these niggas, like some of y'all like going to the bathroom, y'all piss and walk right the fuck out. Like ain't nobody seen shit. And go right back into a restaurant. Ain't washed nary a fingernail. This man out here washing five times a day just to pray. Now, that ain't even to say like if he handling food or something like that. Nah, he doing that just to pray. He going to meet his God. He going to pray. He going to lose his job because he was going to pray and like he's going through his ritual of his religion. And so, you know, this is what I say his religious freedom only to say that a lot of these people, when they start talking about their religious freedom being, you know, being under attack, that they full of shit. They full of shit, man. This isn't about religious freedom, man. The religious freedom arguments here in America are mostly about me being able to discriminate against somebody else who ain't Christian. That's it. And you hide behind your religious affiliation. You hide behind your Christianity to be a bigot towards everybody else who ain't. Because this religious freedom argument only seems to roll one way. This man is going, he's washing his hands, feet, and face to pray. To actually do some religious stuff. Not to discriminate against anybody else. But chances are this man is about to lose his job. Now, I'm not arguing that he shouldn't lose his job, right? I'm not arguing that what he was doing, like, hey, you probably should have a separate sink for that. If this is what you're going to do, you should probably have a separate sink for that. You shouldn't be doing that where the public is coming to, like, you know, maybe rinse out, you know, shit, coffee mugs, whatever the hell it else. You know, folks have, their own private, you know, cups that they... I know I used to go to Speedway all the time and people had like their own, like they bought like this real big ass, you know, Speedway thermos or whatever. And they would buy coffee and they would rinse their their thing out right there in that sink. Like that seems where like he would go. Like now I'm sure 7-Eleven has probably a similar setup. So I get why what he was doing isn't sanitary, isn't, you know, exactly the right thing to be doing in that setting. But I doubt very seriously that that man is going to be able to go back to his religious freedom and be able to keep his job. Which is why these religious freedom arguments has always been bullshit here in America, man. So I just thought it was an interesting juxtaposition, right? Where you've got these people who were talking about, hey, man, we ain't servicing y'all because, you know, that goes against our religious beliefs. And here this man is, he probably about to lose his job because he's practicing his religious beliefs. But, that's what it is, man. And that has been proud to be an American this week, y'all. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. All right. So almost time for us to get on up out of here. But y'all know before we go, we got to do this, man. We got to do this.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
It's our Ass Hat of the Week segment here at the Spare Reporter Podcast, man. And our Ass Hat of the Week this week is none other than some nigga named Tyrone, man. I think his name's Tyrone Muhammad or something. But apparently, Tyrone decided that he was going to go into a nail shop in Chicago. And the reason why he was going into this nail shop is because apparently the Korean owners of this nail shop have been very disrespectful to black women. Now, they'd be like, yo, Span, if they were being disrespectful to black women and this man was going in there to stand up for these black women, then why is he an ass hat of the week? We're going to play the video and then we're going to see why exactly I decided to name this dude the ass hat of the week here at the Spare Report Podcast. Hold on a second. Let me pull this up so you guys can watch this here right along with your boy. And all right. So we go. Let's see. This is at World Star Hip Hop, man. But check this out, man. This man going into this nail shop here in Chicago. Check this out, y'all. He's carrying something. He's got like a red bag. It looked like a bag of bricks.
I ain't got no time. I got no time. Yeah, okay. Talk too much. That's what I I'm talking about.
Okay, okay. First off, this here's the thing. I'm seeing a bunch of people standing outside this goddamn this nail salon with their cell phones out. Whole bunch of people just standing around. They got their cell phones. Now I don't know how many. I don't know if this is like a normal thing, you know, for like it to be a congregation of folks standing outside and milling about around a nail salon with their cell phones. But yeah, that's first red flag. They already planned this shit. And somebody's following him with a cell phone as well.
Step away from the window.
Y'all know this is the last, this is the second time I've been here with this shot, disrespecting black women. This is over with. Last time.
So from the looks of it, most of the patrons and the people who are working on these patrons are ignoring the fuck out of this nigga. Like, they're not even paying this nigga no attention whatsoever.
It's gonna happen. Y'all step away from this window. Y'all stay here, continue to support these people that continue to disrespect y'all. When black men stand up for y'all by these clowns disrespecting us, we don't get the support we need from y'all.
Okay, and therein lies why this nigga's the asshat of the week, right? So, his argument right now, because there are black women in there being serviced by these Korean shop owners, getting their nails done, getting their eyelashes done. They in there getting shit done. They pay for a service, they're getting a service rendered. This man stands in the middle of this store and he says that he's been to this store two times, and that the reason why he's come to the store is because he's gotten word that these Koreans have been disrespectful to black women. And so now he's going to stand up on behalf of black women to stand up for them, right? But in standing up for them, he's going to scold them at the same time and say, well, you know, I'm standing up for y'all. These people continue to disrespect y'all and y'all continue to fuck with them. And anytime a black man goes out and needs y'all support, we don't get it. Has this nigga never heard of the Black Lives Matter movement started by three black queer women? Has he ever? Has he ever really looked at the history of the Black Panther movement and who was really running the shit behind the scenes of that? Who kept that shit rolling? It wasn't fucking Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale. It was a whole lot of sisters that were the backbone of that entire thing that kept that ball rolling. So this nigga goes into this store, chastises these black women for being there, getting their nails done and getting their eyelashes done, because he's heard that the Korean shop owners have been disrespecting black women. So let me go here, stand up for y'all while I talk shit about y'all at the same goddamn time. Really, nigga? Really? And then on top of that, like I said, this shit seems staged as fuck. Because this nigga got a congregation of folks standing outside this damn store right now with their cell phones, and somebody following behind him with their cell phone documenting the entire thing. It's staged as fuck. But we gonna continue. And he's telling these women to move out of the store, or get out of the store, or move from the front of the store.
No problem.
Move. Move. I told you to move.
So he's throwing bricks through the windows of this store.
The brother said he wasn't playing. He's not playing. He said he wasn't playing. He is not playing.
Okay, so also, there's a woman that's narrating this video. She said, the brother said he wasn't playing. He ain't playing. I wonder if this is the person who said she was disrespected in the store. Right? I just kind of wonder, because again, there were the women that were in the store were just like kind of egging this nigga. They were like, hey nigga, I'm getting my nails done. Fuck what you talking about.
That's okay. He know. You got another one. Yeah. Take it in.
I got mine.
Okay. Stop playing. So he all out of bricks. The Chicago police have pulled up. Now he's saying, quit playing, stop disrespecting black women. Meanwhile, he's standing in the establishment, disrespecting black women his damn self. right?
Don't move. Just put it
I'm
in your pocket.
I'm not running. I'm not hiding. I'm not going to keep doing it.
Yep. Come on up out of there.
Back it up, sister.
Ain't no back question.
You're welcome, man. Back it up.
So this is what happens when somebody stands up. He stood up. He told you what it's going to be. He stood up.
Stood up to what? What is he standing up to? Talking like I'm trying to understand, man. And this is why, like, nobody really takes Hotep seriously. This is why nobody takes y'all seriously, because you claim he's standing up. All this nigga did was go in there, talk shit to these Korean people, talk shit about the black women that was sitting there getting service by these Korean people. Said that that black men don't get supported by black women, which is ironic because it's a black woman filming and pumping him up right now. We don't get the support we need from y'all. Huh? So, yeah, man. Some nigga named Tyrone Muhammad. It's the ass head of the week this week here at the Black Hat at the Spareport Podcast.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ. All right. Our champ this week here at the Spam Report Podcast is none other than the mayor of the city of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot. First black female mayor of the city of Chicago. And the reason why she's the champ of the week this week is because in the midst of all these mass shootings and debates about gun control, gun laws and everything else, Ted Cruz decided that it was incumbent upon him to use Chicago again as a punching bag for the reason why gun control isn't a thing or shouldn't be a thing. Because look at Chicago. They've got all these strict gun laws, but there's always all these shootings that's happening in Chicago. Lori Lightfoot is tired of y'all using Chicago as a punching bag. And she says so here, and we're going to read the story here. This comes out of NBCnews.com. It says Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot ripped Senator Ted Cruz and coward Republicans after he cited the city as an example for why gun control doesn't work. On Monday, Cruz linked a story from the far right wing website Breitbart News after fatal gun violence in Democrat controlled Chicago over Labor Day weekend. Gun control doesn't work, Cruz tweeted. Look at Chicago. Disarming law by the citizens isn't the answer. Stopping violent criminals, prosecuting and getting them off the street before they commit crime. Before they commit more violent crimes, is the most effective way to reduce murder rates, a Republican lawmaker wrote. Let's protect our citizens. Lightfoot responded in a tweet, which said, 60% of illegal firearms recovered in Chicago come from outside Illinois, mostly from states dominated by coward Republicans like you, who refuse to enact common sense gun legislation, accompanied by a graph. Keep our name out your mouth. In a follow-up tweet, Lightfoot said that when Cruz and the GOP dismiss common sense gun policies, they disrespect victims and their families who deserve to live without pain and fear. The exchange on Twitter came 2 days after 36-year-old gunman indiscriminately fired on motorists and police officers with an AR-15-style rifle while driving in the West Texas sister cities of Midland and Odessa. Seth Ator open fire after a routine traffic stop Saturday, killing 7 people and injuring 22. He was killed by police outside of a movie theater. Now, really rich for Ted Cruz after having 2 mass shootings happen in his state to come for Chicago and the gun control measures that have been going on in Chicago. Now, I got my own beefs with the Chicago police when it comes to my firearms still. That doesn't mean that I'm not for gun control, and to poo-poo gun control because you cite Chicago, as many Republicans and conservatives tend to do when they talk about whether or not gun control actually works. Yeah, Chicago has its own laws, but that doesn't mean that no one can bring guns into Chicago illegally. They're surrounded by Wisconsin. They're surrounded by rural Illinois. They're surrounded by Indiana. Guns come from all over those, all three of those places, right? So to act as though, because Chicago has these laws that somehow means that guns can't get into Chicago is a ludicrous idea. And I'm glad that at a certain point, Lori Lightfoot stepped up to say, like, y'all not going to continue to use Chicago as y'all's punching bag, considering everything that's going on, especially you, Ted Cruz, considering that you just had two mass shootings in the last 2 weeks happen in your state. Maybe some gun control could happen there, should happen there, considering the amount of people who have just died by mass shootings in your state. You know? So, yeah, man, Lori Lightfoot standing up for the city of Chicago, getting tired of everybody using the Chicago as a punching bag. I know I do. I don't live in Chicago anymore, but that's still home. And, yeah, I'm sick of hearing that shit, too. So, yeah, Lori Lightfoot, champ of the week this week here at the Spare and Poor Podcast, man, real talk. Yo, man, it's time for me to go. And, yeah, that's it. But before we go, let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Spare and Poor Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespareandpoor.com. That's feedback@thespareandpoor.com. Leave us those emails. And of course, those emails will get read here live here on the show. Follow your boy Span here on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. Also, man, I've been neglecting to do this, but yo, we got a Facebook group, man. So go ahead and join the Facebook group, the Span Report Podcast, the fam on Facebook, man. Join the group, man, and get with some like-minded Span Report Podcast listeners, man. Go ahead and do that. Also, I've been also neglecting to mention that we are on Spotify. We are on iHeartRadio, we're on iTunes, we are on Google Play, we're on like all of the major podcast apps. Yo, we on there. You can rock with us. And for those of you who are rocking with us on those apps, especially the ones that allow for you to rate us, go ahead and do that. 5 stars, man. Help your boy out with those 5-star reviews, man. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. It's one way to help the show grow. Doesn't cost you a dime. Just a couple minutes of your time. Let everybody know why you're fucking with us over here at the Spare and Poor Podcast Network. You can also hit us up on our website, www.thespareandpoor.com. You go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in polls when we put one up. You can leave comments there. You can buy our merch from there. You can donate to the show from there as often as you like, as much as you like. And we appreciate every dime over here at the Spare and Poor Podcast Network. Yeah, man, it's a thing. And we really do appreciate you guys who do that. And I appreciate you guys for listening. And I hope to talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.